yapmak.
Before we go on further, let's have any additions that you want to make to your organization work. Do you want to add something about your Zionists?
I want to mention. I want to mention the fact I was very active in the Zionists. You know, we established the American Zionist Fund, and for years I was. I was chairman of arrangements, not because, you know, they wanted to give me the job, because I could do the job, you know. Nobody could devote that much time, you know, to go out and buy the stakes and so forth like that and arrange, because at that time the hotels did not have the kosher kitchens like you have today, you know, so forth like that. And the parade, and when Ben-Gurion came over, I really don't remember the exact year. You know, that was 15, 18 years ago, maybe longer than that. And Sam Goldstock and I, you know, were the original arrangers. He took care of all the taxes and so forth, you know, because for a man like that to come over to a city, you know, it requires a lot of security and so forth like that. I arranged the parade mostly with the car, limousines and everything else. In fact, Ben-Gurion was staying at the Shelney Hotel at that time, when we had the Shelney Hotel right here in Northland. Mm-hmm. And I was the only one that was allowed to go up to the floor where Ben-Gurion was staying, you know. I was the only one that I saw one time was Charlie Rosenblum, you know. You remember Charlie Rosenblum?
Oh, yeah.
And I remember this distinctly, you know, the telephone was ringing, and a few times I answered, you know, something like that, and a few times Ben-Gurion went to the phone, and Mrs. Ben-Gurion, she was an ordinary little woman, you know, sort of like that. She came over to me and she said, "What is your name?" I says, S.J. Nolan. I says, "Will you do me a favor? When the telephone rings," she says, "please don't call Mr. Ben-Gurion to the phone." You know?
Very interesting. Yeah. And let's talk a little bit more about your business life. Explain to us how your business worked and what you did.
I believe I mentioned to you when I was single, the business didn't mean anything to me. I lived it with my parents. I didn't have to worry about to support myself and so forth like that. The only thing I had to worry about is to the things that I wanted to do, you know, to go to the operas, to go to the concerts, to take a vacation, and so forth like that. And the business was secondary. Even people will tell you about it also, you know. So I didn't have to worry, because primarily I came home, my mother prepared a wonderful dinner, had a nice room, and so forth like that. And that is when I was single. And so the business did not play a very important. Many people did not know even that I was in that business, you know, and so forth like that. The only reason I was a broker, I never wanted my business, because once you have a business, you know, and so forth like that, you have to buy machinery, you have to pay rent and so forth like that. That's a responsibility, and you got to attend to it. Otherwise, you lose everything, you know. And I never wanted that responsibility. So I was a broker in the business, and if I wanted to help out somebody, you know, in, let's say, in composition or something like that, I did whenever I wanted.
This was a broker in the printing business?
In the printing business, yeah.
Now how would that look?
I used to buy my own paper, you know. I used to set it up myself. I had arrangements with the plant, you know, to set it up myself, because I used to know more about those things than those that were employed there and stuff like that. And I used to display it myself, you know.
You would contract to get a job done for a group, and then you would hire a printer to do the work for you.
Yeah. You worked
from your home. You didn't have an office or anything of that sort.
That's right.
And after you were married, you continued the same way?
Well, after I married, I did a little bit more than that, you know, because I had to pay rent. I had to get an apartment, you understand, you know. Whereas before, I stayed with my mother. My dad died, you know, how many years ago? 10, 15 years before my mother died, you know, and I still continue to live with my mother, you know.
But after you were married, you moved out and got an apartment.
After I had to move out, you know. We went to Bermuda for our honeymoon, you know, and so forth like that. And I came back, and I got an apartment, and I started to get a little bit, I wanted to, but I was forced to. And I started to get more active and so forth like that.
But you still continued as a broker?
Still continued as a broker. I wanted more, a little bit more time. And naturally, I might as well tell you that too. And I got a little interested in the stock market. I was involved, you know, before the break yet of 1929, you know, and so forth like that. And I had a few thousand dollars, you know, and I lost it completely, you know, and so forth like that. I don't know what I should mention that either, but it's one of those incidents.
Sure, we want to hear all that.
And I always used to bring something on from town, you know, so forth like that. For mother, you know, so forth like that. So that day when the market went down, you know, and I lost everything, and I think I had to pay it after the few thousand dollars, I had to pay $1,500 or $1,800. To make it good, you know, sort of like that. So I passed by Fifth Avenue. They used to have that big store there, Donner's or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On Fifth Avenue, you see, I remember a little bit, mm-hmm. I still remember. So I bought 2 pounds of nuts, you know, to bring home to my mother. In there, you know, everything was gone, all the money was gone, you know, sort of like that, but still have some money in my pocket.
That's a nice stock.
So I bring it home, she says, well, how much do you pay for the nuts? You know, the walnuts, whatever they call it. I said, I don't know, I gave you a price, 26, 27 cents or something. Why did you have to care? I could have gotten in here for 25 or something like that. And I needed an outlet, you know, something like that. When she mentioned like that, you know, there was a 2 cents or 4 cents involved, I started to cry. Here I lost everything, you know. she was about the 2 cents or the 4 cents. No, she didn't mean anything. Why did I have to carry? You know, so like, she said, what are you crying about? You know, that's one of the biggest, one of big interests in my life too, you know, something like that. So I had to break down and tell her, you know, something like that. And actually, it worried me as a youngster, and I was to make up $1,500 because I was not a big money maker or something like that. So she told my dad, you know, after that, the 4 cents, you know, that I overpaid, and he made it good, and I paid him back and something like that, and I still, even though I lost everything, I went back later a little bit, but I still made, I cannot complain, I still got out of it in good shape.
That's right. Okay. Now, as far as religious observances, I know you said you weren't religious particularly as a boy. Do you observe today?
No, religious, you know, that's, I don't.
Holidays or anything? You don't belong to a synagogue?
No. I don't, but I am very active. I'm more active as a community man, as a synagogue man, or something like that. I my belief is this, you know, that I think the community is more important, you know, as far as the Jews are concerned, than the synagogues are important. Because when it comes to those synagogues, you know, each one looks out for himself. And that's why the community cannot make too much progress. They go in for everything. They go in for classes. They go in for dinners. They go in for sports and everything else, just to take care of that little group that they have. And I can't see that.
You see synagogues do this, you say?
Yeah, synagogues do it. You know, and I can't see it. You see what I mean? I think they should support more the community, you know, and to be closer to the community than to separate themselves entirely. They don't separate themselves entirely.
Are you talking about the Jewish community they should support or the community in general?
We are not discussing the Jewish community. I'm speaking. That involves the general community also, naturally. The Jews are a part of the general community. They should take part in the general community as well as in the Jewish community. But primarily, we are interested in the Jewish community. You see what I mean?
Yes.
And I think that's why you have so many synagogues, which it can be eliminated too, to a certain extent, you know. And then they try to expand, and they try to build classrooms, and they try to build lecture rooms, and they try to get lecturers in, and they are competing with each other. And I can't see it.
Right.
I can't see it.
Can you contrast Pittsburgh today with Pittsburgh yesterday? Culturally, socially, politically?
Well, I don't know. It all depends what are you involved, you know, and so forth like that. That's up to the individual, you know. Anyone that is not was not involved in anything, you know, before doesn't make any difference whether 10 years passed, 20, 30 years passed. To him, the city is the same, you know, and so forth like that. If you become more involved, you get a bigger idea of what's going on in the city.
Don't you think Pittsburgh has changed? How about environmentally?
Oh, it changed a great deal, surely, absolutely, compared to what we have seen 50 years ago or 40 years ago and so forth like that.
How do you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life and its place in the general community?
I think the Jewish life is much better today than it was before, you know. They have a closer relationship than before. There was more division, let's say, between the Orthodox and the Conservative and the Reformed. Now there's more close, they're a little closer than they were. Take the German Jews, you know, the Reformed Jews. Many years ago, they didn't want to have anything to do with the Orthodox Jews or perhaps the Reformed Jews. Now they are changing, you know, much more than they did years ago. But still, I cannot see as far as the synagogues are concerned, that they should compete with the, let's say, if there is a strong Jewish community in the center, if they offer lectures and they offer concerts and they offer classes, let's assume. No, we had a beautiful educational center here years ago. You know, it was completely destroyed. We had to give it up for one reason, because every synagogue started to get into the business of classes, you know, and they started to build gyms, they started to, build dining rooms, they started to do all those things and so forth like that, and And I could never see it. That's why I never became an active synagogue man. You see what I mean? And there were many things that I saw that was going on even when I lived in Auckland, in Onofili Street, and the Tree of Life was close by, you know. Naturally, I wouldn't go to the other little shul that were, you know, on Craft Avenue, you know, so like that, where my father belonged, you know, because I couldn't see it, you know. There was a small group and the people, but even the Tree of Life, I didn't like the way that was even Rabbi
Alpern,
you know, he was, I don't know, he didn't appeal to me, even though he was a very educated man, you know. We had a meal in the, he gave classes here in the educational department. We have one of the finest educational departments in the city, not only, maybe in the country too, because at that, those years you didn't have anybody to do those things that we did here, you know. We used to have classes 40 people in the evening, you see. Now they're all in competition with each other. B'nai Israel has a lecture series, you know, B'Shalom has a lecture series, you know, and all those things, and they have classes, and they're building buildings, so they have no business to do it, and so forth like that, and they're paying for it. There's no reason for it. We can utilize all that stuff, and if you have a stronger community center.
Well, that's a very interesting, really very interesting. How do you view your accomplishments, your successes, or any failures you may have had?
Well, I think, as far as I'm concerned, you know, you don't know me, but as far as I know myself, I think I made a great success in my life. I've accomplished the things that I wanted to accomplish. I have done all I could for others, you know, which is a great accomplishment as far as I'm concerned, you know, and so forth like that, you know, and that was always when I was a youngster, you know. I always said that I was placed on this little planet for a short time, and I got to make the best of it, and I got to help others if I can, and so forth like that. And I think I've accomplished all those things in my life, and I cannot complain. I'm completely satisfied. In fact, 2 years ago, you know, I have established a fund, you know, and it's called the S.J. Novan Memorial Foundation Fund, you know, for poor children to go to camp, you know. And this year, that was a couple. In fact, I had that in mind 10-12 years ago, but I took sick and I couldn't go through with it, so I went through with it in 1976, you know. And this year I went up, I have established it with the Pittsburgh Foundation, you see what I mean? And this year I went up to see if there is any money accumulated, you know. The amount is going to produce, you know, will be given to the children, poor children,
yes,
to go to camp. And I was informed that I have over $700, so I have established two scholarships for $350 apiece for poor children to go to the Emma Kaufman camp.
Excellent.
And this,
very
is not,
important.
This is just the letter.
That's very good.
Sure. You see this, Ms. Grossman?
Yes, I am a farm at Emma Kaufman camp. It's still the Emma
Well,
Kaufman.
See, read it over, you'll get an idea, yeah. There's still the Emma Kaufman camp. The
that's,
camp
that's
is still.
That's a very nice thing. Is there any other information you would like to add to this? Anything you want to add that you think we should include.
I'm really surprised that I remembered all the things that I told you. And, you know, after all, I'm only 17 years old, you know, and I still remember those things.
Well, we thank you very much.
You see, if you want to know anything else, you know, I can't think of it. And anything, there are many things, I suppose, that I didn't say that I should have said, but I didn't remember, and you did not touch on any subject. One thing I didn't mention, my sister went to, when she came over, she went to school here in Auckland, and she graduated from what do you call that school on Netflix Street there? No, the I don't know. No. I don't know. I know what's the difference. I don't think.
Yeah.
Anyhow, she graduated at the public school,
French
and then
school.
She went to Shelney High School, and she was a very good student, you know, and so was I. And my father too was not anxious she should continue in school. And I said she should go to school, you know, and so forth like that. And she did, and she went to college. She graduated from college. She became a teacher. And last year, you know, she retired. She was a teacher for a couple of years, and then some social workers to take care of problem children.
Oh, established home and school visitors.
Home and school visitors, that's right, you know. And she was one of the first two or three, and she got into that field, and she has been in that field for many years, and was it last year or a year and a half ago, she retired.
What was
Beatrice
Ann
Baum. Yeah, she's married, and she has... Beatrice Novan Baum. Beatrice N. Baum. Beatrice N. B-A-U-M. Beatrice N. Baum. And
she married, and she has children?
She has one son. And she made a very, very big success too in her field and so forth like that.
And she lived in the city of Pittsburgh too?
She lives in the city of Pittsburgh. I have only one sister.
Well, what was the age difference between you and your sister?
Oh, I would say it's around 10, 12 years.
That much difference between
them. That's
you.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I see. Did you want to add anything about the influence that you think your mother may have had on you, or who else in your family would have had an influence on your attitude of doing for others and not worrying about financial gain?
I don't think anybody else, because I'll tell you... that my life was such a life that I did not spend too many years with relatives. Like I told you, you know, that we had to run from one place to another, you know, to, you know, run away from wars and so forth like that. And then you were separated from your father, you know, you didn't, you know, for years I didn't have a father, you know, so forth like that. And I think... And my mother was a very wonderful woman, you know, and so forth like that. When I used to have, if I used to tell her, mother, I says, I'm going to have somebody for dinner, and so forth like that, some friends or somebody would stop in. She didn't know what to do. She used to bake cookies, she used to bake cakes, she put everything on the table and so forth like that. This is another important thing that I want to say. You see, you know, when you discuss things, it comes to your mind. That's how it goes back. When I was going to school, you know, evening school, Chamber of Commerce,
the University
of Pittsburgh,
you know,
something like
yeah.
that, and I got active there, and so naturally that. 1 year, you know, the director there, you know, Lanfield, Dr. Lanfield, if you remember, he was...
Yes.
Do you remember that? Yeah, he just came to mind.
What
I couldn't think of it.
Lanfield.
He was Dean of Men, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Dean of Men at the University of Pittsburgh, and then he became director.
Mm-hmm.
I think he spelled it L-A-N-F-E-L-D. S-E-A-R, I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then he became the director of the evening school, because the evening school was a very important school, because all the lawyers went there and so forth like that, and you didn't have the building here. So, and as I told you, I was business manager of the magazine, and I was active there. We arranged affairs and so forth like that. When my president was elected, so forth like I was the boss,
yeah.
You know, because so one year we decided, to have those issues that we put out every month, you know, in one volume. You know, we used to go to a binder and bind them, you know, so forth like that. So I said to my mother, I says, you know what? I says, I'm going to have those that are active in this group, you know, to come over and some kind of a dinner or something like that, you know,
buffet, supper or something like that.
I forgot the name of it, you know. So my mother prepared, I think, adults and sauerkraut and something else and cookies and all that business and so forth like that. And Dr. Lanfear, you know, he was a big man, you know, and so forth like that at that time. He came with his wife, you know, and we had some others on the committees, you know, the chairman, the editor, the CEO of the magazine, you know, and to give out those bound volumes, you know, and so forth like that. And the director calls me up and says, S.J., he says, I'll tell you, the maid was supposed to show up and take care of the kid. They had a young kid, you know, and so forth like that. Is it all right if I bring the youngster over? I says, absolutely, bring it over, and so forth. So when the youngster came over, and my little woman, you know, my mother, prepared everything on the table, you know, I think she had soup there or not, but she had enough, you know, she had smoked fish, and she had hot dogs, she had everything. But so the kid says she likes to have butter, and so forth like that. You know, can you give us some, you know, so Dr. Lambert says to your S.J., he says, can you tell your mother? I said, Dr. Lambert, that's one thing you can't get here, said my mother. My mother doesn't sell butter with meat, you know, so like that. But we had about 20 people there, you know, in our own there for dinner. And now the same thing applies here with my little woman. You know, there are people coming over, you know, for a drink. She likes to bake, you know. Some people come over for dinner, you know, so forth like that. And she's very cooperates and all these things. Even last Friday, you know, we go every Friday to the symphony, you know, and so forth like that. So I usually, during the intermission, I look around to get a ride, you know, to go home, because we take the bus. I don't have a car, never. By the way, I have a license for 47 years. You know, that's another important thing in my life. 47 years, I never drove. I passed my test, but when I was single, I had millions of people call me, you know. You want to go to New York, you want to go to Chicago, you want to go to Cleveland, you want to go here, and so forth like that. The only thing I had to do, he called my mother, put out a few shirts and a suit, and I was on my way already, you know, so nothing to worry about, you know, and so forth. So not to the same thing with my wife, you know,
Wonderful what you found.
So last Friday, no, just to show you though, last Friday, I looked around, not too many people were there. I looked around, I couldn't get a ride on. So there's a young lady, two young ladies that come and sit near us, you know, the three seats away from us, two seats away from our seats, you know. So while I was out looking out during the intermission for somebody, you know, if I can get a ride, she started a conversation with this young lady, two young ladies, but one didn't show up. So there was only the one. And this young lady works for that in Square Little with the crippled children.
Oh, Home for Crippled Children.
Home for Crippled Children, there is, you know. Yeah. And she says, well, if you don't have a ride, I'll take you on, you know.